Blog Talk Radio.
I'm back. Somebody cue me up some music. I send you Windy City greetings from Chicagoland. I have been on quite a hiatus. I've been pretty busy. Life has truly kept me busy, but in all good ways, I must say. I have missed being here on the air and chit-chatting with all of you, talking about subject matters that are either in the news or on my mind. So needless to say, it is good to be back on Blog Talk Radio and doing this program. I look forward to doing more shows coming up, and I will try and do them a lot more often. I think the last time I was on the air was about 3 months ago, so it is certainly good to be back. Now, with all of that said, I'm kind of kicking off my return back to the air by talking about me going to hear Minister Louis Farrakhan speak. Now, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer before I talk about what all I experienced. I know the minister does not mix his words when he talks about various subject matters. And so I just want it to be known that I certainly don't approve or agree with everything that he has to say, especially through the publication of the final call. And between the two, between the minister and the final call, you may hear of words such as races, separating and not belonging together, and believing that even if you are from an African-American descent, you should return to the motherland of Africa. I don't think that that's all necessary, and that is my personal feeling about it. I think that we are all better off getting to know one another and living with one another and accepting our differences for what they are. Now, I went to hear Minister Farrakhan speak for a number of different reasons, but I guess some of the top ones would be that a lot of times he really does make some excellent points on some subject matters. He's, of course, known to talk pretty long. Now, religious-wise, I do celebrate through the Baptist religion, but I'm certainly open to the opinions of others. In fact, I have a copy of the King James Version of the Bible. I also have a copy of the Holy Quran. So I try to read various things and learn of different cultures. I know the minister is also a part of the Nation of Islam, so that's another reason to hear him speak. Hear what he has to say as being a part of that group. And the men in particular that are a part of the nation are known for wearing their suits and their bow ties and, of course, the world-famous bean pies, right? Maybe one day I'll have a slice. Now, let me set the scene a little bit before I discuss some of the key points of what I heard the minister talk about. The minister was at the St. Sabina Catholic Church, and he was speaking as a part of a speaker series that they had. He was probably like the third or fourth speaker, a part of that series. And the St. Sabina Catholic Church is located on the south side of Chicago, and this particular church has a pastor known as Father Flager, who is there. I think he is an awesome person, certainly an awesome speaker, and he has done some amazing things in this community, especially in kind of twisting the arm, it feels like a lot of times, and having the Catholic Church truly serve the community. And I know just a few years ago they were actually trying to place him somewhere else and tell him, hey, you served there long enough. But, you know, I think Father Flager loves where he is, and he certainly does a great job. Now, I've been to a number of different churches, including Catholic churches, but this is the first Catholic church that I've ever visited where when I saw the image of Jesus Christ, it was of a black Jesus. And, of course, I thought that interesting because at a lot of churches you go to, the image of Jesus Christ is projected as a white man. So I just thought that was pretty interesting on my first visit to this particular church. Now, the location of the church where the minister was speaking is about 8 blocks from where the final call is actually produced. At least I think it's still produced here in the Chicagoland area. The building is certainly still there, the headquarters of the final call where it's produced. It's also near the Salam Restaurant and Bakery, which I think is a part of the nation or associated to the Nation of Islam in some way. Now, if you have never been to the south side of Chicago, and you're still trying to imagine what it's like, I actually used to live on this particular block. I shouldn't say this exact block, but certainly in the neighborhood, just a few blocks from my old neighborhood when I was in this particular area of Chicago. And it's not one of the most prominent in the world. I know the building that I lived in overnight on a regular routine basis, practically every night, there was gang shootings that were occurring in the alleyways, the small little streetways that separated the buildings, and often I would wake up to find the police peeling the bodies of African-American men, either off the ground or off of fences that had lost their lives overnight. So that was pretty tragic to bear witness to regularly. It's also an area that has a lot of storefront churches, churches that are practically every other block, that sit right next door to laundromats and to fast food restaurants and currency exchanges, and also an area that has boarded up buildings or boarded up homes. So it's always good to see the minister certainly not concern himself with where he's speaking, that he's still open-minded when he goes out to talk amongst the people, if you will. So now that I've kind of set that scene, I'm now placing you in the position where I'm headed into the church. And as I walk down the street, I pass a television van. Of course, we know the minister's covered everywhere he goes from a media standpoint. And as I head into the church, I can't help but notice the Nation of Islam women as well as the men, their politeness and their kindness and their determination to make sure that the minister is secure. Security, honey, was tight. And I almost felt like I was watching like a cop show or something because the security that was there, the ones really trying to make themselves known, were actually wearing headpieces, or I should say earpieces, not headpieces, but earpieces, and were talking into the palms of their hands. I mean, almost kind of a bit too showy, I thought, to make the audience aware of their presence. I just thought that was kind of overkill. But they were certainly there, and they certainly checked out each person as if we were going through the airport and made sure we didn't have anything that we didn't need to have. And I'm sure I probably looked a little like a little hoodlum myself because, you know, I really wasn't paying that close attention to my personal attire. In fact, I had a black hair rag on. That's what we used to call it back in my day. Head scarves, we used to call hair rags. So I walked up in there with a black hair rag on, so I probably looked like a suspicious character. But after passing through security, I checked out the other areas of the church, went into the basement area, noticed that there are a number of different tables that had a lot of products that were for sale, you know, which is fine if you're trying to spread a message and you have your DVDs and CDs and books and all that, why not? And I also noticed a lot of different statues and emblems that the church just personally has, honoring children and showing the young people, the different lives that have been lost in the neighborhood, and to not choose gang violence and to look at education. I think that was great to see, the church's dedication to do that. Now, as I made my way into the church, I sat about 10 rows behind the podium, and you could just feel the anticipation in the air, like people were literally on the edge of their seats waiting for the minister to come out and to speak. And I grabbed my little pen and pad of paper. That's how I took all these different notes so I could have this particular show to talk about tonight. And there was actually a guy that was sitting behind me, and I swear to you, this is the truth. He said over 10 times, "Here he comes, here he comes." And people would either start standing up or getting all excited, and I thought, wow, it's not like Jesus Christ coming back himself, right? So I didn't have that kind of anticipation. I was excited to hear the minister speak, but not like excited like, it's the minister, it's the minister, you know, like I got to use the bathroom on myself or whatever. It wasn't like that kind of excitement. So I thought that was a little odd. But, you know, I guess if people worship their leaders, that's the way they felt. So, you know, this guy calmed himself down. Now, we had a gentleman, Cliff Kelly, who began to introduce people, and he is a radio host here in the Chicagoland area. And he first introduced Father Flager. Father Flager stood up and he spoke a while. And one thing he said that I make note of is that great prophets have a responsibility to trouble the waters. And Minister Farrakhan is misunderstood and demonized to block his message. So I thought that was really interesting, Father Flager to say. And then after he spoke, there was this one man, this praise dancer who danced, and he wasn't on an elevated stage. I mean, he wasn't in the elevated area where the podium was. And so, you know, I probably saw him from, like, the shoulders up, and I'm 10 rows in. I'm pretty close, you know. So I thought, okay, well, I love the music I'm hearing. I just wish I could see him. But, you know, it was cool. I didn't really come to see him anyway, but it was a great little addition. So I arrived there at 6:28 in the evening. I was about an hour and a half early before the program started. And then when Cliff Kelly started to talk, it was 7:50, and then he introduced Father Flager, and it was now 8:09, and by the time the minister started to speak, it was 8:17 at night, and he talked until 9:50. So needless to say, he did talk relatively long. And there were a couple of things that I captured as key points that I wanted to mention here to you today, and all of these are paraphrase, they're not exact words of what he said, and I apologize now if I may have even misquoted and misnoted some of the different things that I heard, but these are things I think I heard sounded like what he was trying to say to me, and again, I'm just paraphrasing. So one thing he talked about is the division of religions and denominations, and I thought, that was pretty interesting because, in my opinion, he sometimes contributes to that. I mean, you can't talk about another person's religion and how they worship and the way they worship and who they are, and not expect that to be an issue, cause some division. So I thought that was kind of an interesting starting point as he began speaking with us as the audience. And then he talked about working together to solve problems. And again, I kept thinking to myself, well, we could probably do that if there is not tolerance of people, but an acceptance, a sincere acceptance of people and their differences, their beliefs, and so forth and so on. He talked about people that wear crosses on their necks but are doing everything that Christ condemned and that they're not acting Christ-like. He talked about the children. He talked about tithing. He talked about how parents need to be good examples to train up their kids in the way that they should go. And I certainly believe that to be true. Our young people don't have enough role models, whether it be through the form of their parents, if they have their parents with them, or those of us that are just responsible adults. And I say if because, you know, a lot of kids don't have mom there, don't have dad there, or have them there and they're caught up in drugs or they're caught up in drinking or something else is going on where the home is not stable. And so how could you have the parents be good examples if the home itself, for one reason or another, is not stable? The minister talked about weapons being brought into our country. And he didn't say this part, but what I'll say to that is, you know, we know that that's been going on for many years. I think more of the concern is why our young people are so comfortable in using the weapons and buying the weapons and in killing people as if they just stepped on a roach, as if they just squashed an ant. I mean, they kill off people and take lives like it's nothing. And I think that's something we certainly need to address in addition to all these weapons being brought into the country. Minister Farrakhan said that we are hypocrites. We have stones in our hands for somebody else. And I thought that was pretty deep in what he mentioned, because it's to the point, or at least in the African-American community, that you hear that it feels as if genocide is occurring, that the youth violence is so prominent, that it feels as if we are just trying to wipe out the race, and that we're doing it in the place of where others stood. Like in years past, in the days of slavery, the people that would bound you and force you to do things, it's almost as if it's in the place of their hands. So we certainly need to stop being hypocritical. Minister Farrakhan said that you are a new creature in Christ and not bound to your DNA. Now, I thought that was really interesting because I remember, I think it was in my 20s, when I heard Les Brown, the motivational speaker, say that one's opinion of you never has to become your reality. And I never forgot those words, because people always think they know who you are and they'll evaluate your actions and the way you present yourself, but deep down they don't know. So we are not bound and stuck with what situation we may be born into, or based on our parents, what we think they may have passed down, some habit, we can certainly do some changing. Now, a couple other things I want to mention that he talked about had to deal with him saying we should hold on to our faith and that our rewards are on the other side. And I agree with him. I mean, being a Baptist, I believe in Jesus Christ and the afterlife and miracles, and I believe there is a God. I think our young people are challenged with what he said here in regards to waiting on our rewards because they're tired of waiting. They say that they are just exhausted and they don't feel they're getting fair treatment. There is no justice in their eyes, especially when they see situations like we all just witnessed a few weeks ago with Trayvon Martin in that case, and that it didn't seem fair. The jury may have made the selection decision on what they need to make based on the evidence and based on the laws. But our young people, of course, interpret that to mean their lives aren't worth anything. And they may protest and march and do, of course, those things in a positive light, but they don't want to wait until they get to the other side on rewards, and so they're frustrated. And I can feel that. I can sense that, and I get that. And then the last thing I noted here as something that the minister talked about is that we need to come up out of our stupidity. Short, simple, and to the point. And he's right. We can't buy into negativity that's said, negativity that is used. We need to learn to do the right thing. So we need to reach back and help young people so they can figure out how to do the right things. Now, one thing that I wanted to hear out of all that he talked about, and he talked a long time here, I mean, well over an hour and 40-something minutes. I wanted to just hear a greater call to action. I mean, I have heard the minister talk on television, and I have seen different recordings of him. And prior to going to see him at the church, I'd heard him talk before about various subject matters. But due to all of this violence in Chicago, and especially being in my old neighborhood where I know it's like super, super duper violence, where I will literally have days over the weekend where I will just drive up and down the neighborhood and have my radio blasting church music, kind of as if it's a hypnotic thing that I try and do, like I'm in some hypnotic spell as I'm playing my music and driving down the road with the hopes that it'll almost go out kind of like a prayer for the neighborhood, kind of like a blessing for the neighborhood. And so I kind of wish that he would have empowered people to do more, maybe endorsed a youth organization for them to participate in or suggest different things they could do, maybe offer up something. Like, for example, I love to help the young people during the school year through Junior Achievement. And through Junior Achievement, you can first go in with the materials that they give to you and explain it in full to the kids and talk with them about the lessons. But then you can share your life lessons. And you can talk about things you have gone through to give them that real-life talk that could change their lives. So I'd hope that the minister would have said, hey, use Junior Achievement, or hey, go through this program, hey, go through that after-school program, hey, sign up something for something at your church or in your neighborhood. But I didn't hear that. So maybe at this point he is at a place where he's trying to put more in the parents' hands and maybe get them to move and to motivate, perhaps. I don't know. But overall, I can say that I'm glad that I went to hear the minister speak. I think that he looked strong and he looked well. You've heard all these different myths about his health, and his health is failing, and that he can just barely make it and barely walk. I didn't see any of that. I saw a strong leader and heard a great message and saw intentions that appeared to be wisely placed and deeply heartfelt. And I think that the minister means well. I really believe that. I think that sometimes, though, you really have to be careful in the things that you do and in the things that you say, because although you're trying to energize people and get them to move and get them to change, my opinion is that it should not take degrading another person's beliefs or culture or religion or ethnicity to prove your point. So I have not heard the minister enough to know if over the past few months or a couple of years he's kind of changed in that regard. But I can say that I didn't hear any of that type of rhetoric on this particular day when I heard to hear him, went to hear him speak, and I was happy about that. Tons of media folks were there, and he certainly had a full house. The church was completely packed to hear him speak, and I was glad that I went. I was concerned in regards to where to park and if I'd be able to get a seat, but there was no problem at all. I mean, I was a half block away from the building. I think the only thing I was disappointed in, I mean, I mentioned the thing in regards to I'd hoped there'd be a greater call to order, to action. But I was hoping I could take some pictures, and they certainly did not want you to take any. I had my camera with me because I didn't know ahead of time you could not take any pictures. And so I couldn't do the picture thing. I really wanted to do that because, you know, sometimes you'll hear great leaders speak, and you'll want to talk to family members or friends about that and also show them the posture of what you saw and how the person looked and all that, but I was unable to do that. And maybe that's a part of why the tables were so filled in the basement. Maybe the thought was, if you need some pictures, hey, get the book or whatever, or get something, DVD that has his picture and his image and all that. But I think my greatest lesson learned is that I really want to continue to go and hear leaders speak from different organizations and different groups. And I once had a teacher tell me when I was studying for my master's degree in computer science, and he was of Asian descent, and he said to me, you should really continue to expand out. Go to different churches and look at the way that people worship God and do different things and experience a lot. And I appreciate all that he had to say, and I dedicate this show to him. He has now passed away. But I dedicate this show to him, and I appreciate him being the great teacher that he was, because that is a great lesson to learn. We all need to be patient with one another, learn from one another, not be judgmental, and not make assumptions about what we think people are and the way that they may react. So, with all of that said, I thank you all so much for tuning in to today's program on hearing Minister Louis Farrakhan speak. And I'm actually going to go out to various websites to find out where he will be speaking next in the Chicagoland area, because I would love to hear him speak again. Before I bid you all a farewell, I want to remind you of my email address. Drop me an email at any time to say hello or give me your feedback and input in regards to the shows that I do. My email address is mailtobanks@aol.com. It's spelled M-A-I-L, the number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S at AOL.com. And don't forget to go to Amazon.com and get copies of all of my books, Woman of Integrity, Barrenhood, Becoming a Published Author, and Surviving a Layoff. And I will tell you more about book number 5 real soon, if life can just slow me down so that I can finish it, but it will be out soon. I do have events coming up in the Chicagoland area in October and November. Drop me an email if you would like the details in regards to those. I thank you all so much for listening. I hope you have a very blessed upcoming week. Take care until we meet or speak again.